On July 23, 1983, Air Canada Flight 143 ran out of fuel halfway between Montreal and Edmonton and had to perform an emergency landing. The reason? The crew confused pounds with kilograms while fueling the aircraft. Misunderstandings can have major consequences. And if there is ever a person in the history of the world that has been misunderstood, it's Jesus.
From his birth, misunderstood. Through his ministry, misunderstood. On the cross, always misunderstood.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. Jesus had one purpose and one mission when he came to this earth. But this purpose was misunderstood even by his most ardent followers then, and even to this day. This week, Charles Tapp shares the story of Palm Sunday and what we can learn from it today with his message, The Misunderstood King.
If you're like me, one of the things that frustrates you to no end is to be constantly misunderstood. I would even go as far as to say that being misunderstood is on the top 10 list for me of things that really have the potential to get under my skin and drive me crazy. And as a child, this really proved to be very challenging for me because as a child, I was very shy, and many mistook my shyness for being unfriendly. I would just stand over in the corner and not talk to people. They thought I was trying to be rude. No, I was scared to death as a child. I was short. I'm not tall now, but I'm at least 5'10", amen? I was skinny, not skinny anymore. Somewhere in between. I was sickly. I was thin. My voice was so high-pitched that people thought I was a female over the phone. So you can understand with all these things together. And I don't know where this gentleman is. I don't know if he's even alive today. But there's this guy who was the youth pastor of the church that I was a member of at the time. And Anjali, I was standing over in the corner. I was so afraid. Didn't want to talk to anybody. And this guy came over to me and introduced himself. He said, I'm the youth pastor here at this church. And I've got a role. I got something I want you to do. I want you to be in our Easter program. And I'm going, me? Yes. He said, I've got one very important line. And he gave me the character of Peter. What? I'm going to be Peter? He said, yeah, I want you to be Peter. And it was the scene when Peter was warming himself by the fire, when Jesus was in the court of Caiaphas, remember? And outside they were accusing him, saying, you're one of the men, you're one of Jesus' followers, and here was my line. I am not the man. No, that was it. That's all I had to say. I am not the man. But it drove me crazy as a child because people thought I was being rude. People thought I was being unfriendly. No, I was misunderstood. I was simply shy. But when you think about it, shouldn't it be our goal in life to desire, to want to be misunderstood? And shouldn't we be willing to do anything within reason, that is, to ensure that we are understood? I don't know anybody that wants to go around living their lives constantly having their motives misjudged as well as their actions misinterpreted. Probably, that is, everyone except for Jesus. You see, think about it for a moment. Jesus was not only misunderstood by those who reviled him and by those who hated him, but he was equally misunderstood by those who were among his most faithful, ardent followers. But instead of Jesus fighting to make himself understood, He often appeared at times rather to be content with being misunderstood. And one of the most appalling things that people would misunderstand about Jesus was that of his teaching. And probably nowhere else in Scripture is this more apparent than in the Gospel of John. For instance, in John chapter 3, Jesus introduces to Nicodemus for the very first time this concept of the new birth, or as he put it, being born again. And Nicodemus' response is proof positive that Jesus' words were misunderstood. For as Nicodemus then said to Jesus, he asked him this question: how can a man be born of God when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? It was later made clear that Jesus was not referring to a physical rebirth, but Jesus was referring to a spiritual birth, a birth of the water and the Spirit. Number two, then there was the time that Jesus in John chapter 6 makes a statement which many of his hearers, his disciples, found to be quite disturbing in nature. And this is what he said to them: whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Yes, we know now that Jesus was speaking in symbolic terms, in symbolic language, referring to the Lord's Supper, to the Holy Communion, but it was not so then. Hearing these words from Jesus, I'm sure, produced feelings of consternation as well as feelings of bewilderment on the part of his disciples. But not only did Jesus' words bring about a great deal of misunderstanding, his actions would create just as much misunderstanding as did his words. For instance, remember in Mark chapter 4, when Jesus and his disciples were getting into a boat? Jesus had been ministering all day. He was tired, and they decided to go to the other side. But while at sea, this ferocious storm erupted, and all the disciples thought they were lost. They thought this was the end. And they began to look for Jesus. You remember the story? And they found him asleep in the stern of the boat. And it says that they cried out to him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" That's what it says in the King James Version. But look how it reads in the New International Version. I believe that this was probably a more accurate translation. In the New International Version, it simply says this: "Teacher, do you care if we're going to drown?" That sounds more real, doesn't it? I can't see them going, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" No, "Teacher, don't you care? We're about to drown. Don't you see that this is the end?" You see, in other words, they misunderstood Jesus' ability to remain calm in turbulent times as a lack of concern on his part for their safety. There are some people that can sleep through anything. You know anybody like that? Oldest daughter, when she was a little baby, I used to put her in the carriage and take her to my office with me. Lived in Queens, traveled to Brooklyn. She would be asleep, put her in my office, do my work. 3 or 4 hours later, get home, and she would still be asleep. You see, Jesus, they misunderstood the fact that he was calm in turbulent times for a lack of concern. And I love how Jesus responds. He gets up and he says, "Oh, ye of little faith." And then he says, "Peace, be still." Amen? And the water stopped. And many of you can attest to today that there are turbulent storms going on in your own lives. Better yet, in your own heart. And there are times when Jesus has to get up, stand up in the boat of your heart and go, "Peace, be still. You see, God's peace is not the absence of storm. Let's just be clear about that. God's peace comes in the very midst of the storm, and it comes from knowing that God is with you, that God is with me in the storm. And although Jesus performed many miraculous feats in his 3.5 years of ministry while on this earth, he spent a great deal of his time being misunderstood by the very ones he came to serve, by the very ones he came to save. As a matter of fact, in John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 11, it says he, talking about Jesus, came to his own and they received him not. And the reason why I believe many did not receive Jesus is because they probably misunderstood him. And when you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you kind of get the impression that Jesus, unlike many of us, was fine with being misunderstood. For with you and me, if we're misunderstood, we're going to make sure that folk know what we truly mean. But with Jesus, it appears that there were times that Jesus was very content, very fine with being misunderstood. Which then makes Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem a very interesting turn of events. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me." Verse 3. "And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord,'" what? "'Has need of them.' And immediately he will send them." Verse 4. "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying," as he's quoting here from Zechariah 9, verse 9, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." It is clear that Jesus has prepared ahead of time for this moment as he prepares to make his grand entrance into Jerusalem. And there are so many moments as we read the gospel in Jesus' life and ministry that the people were ready to declare him as king, but each time Jesus made a quick exit, or as we say, Jesus has left the building. And this time, mentioned in John chapter 6, following the feeding of the great multitude, the 5,000 men, women, and children, many were so awed by what Jesus had done, John says that they came to Jesus and tried to take him by force to anoint him king, but Jesus went up to the mountain to disappear and to be by himself. But not so this time. Instead of Jesus running away from the crowd, now Jesus is running with the crowd. Jesus is apparently seeking the crowd. This doesn't sound like Jesus, does it? Not only does Jesus come with a crowd, but upon reaching the outskirts of the city, there is a crowd that meets Jesus. Because if you want to get a crowd, have a crowd already. And many had stopped to see what was going on here. First of all, Lazarus, whom Jesus had recently raised from the dead, was with Jesus in the crowd. Now, think about it. How many of you, who among you would not want to see a person raised from the dead? Better yet, who among you would want to see a person raised from the dead? Some of you don't know what you want, do you? I would love to see that. Somebody who was dead and now they're alive. But then the second thing was, as they made it close to the city, because it was Passover, the busiest time of the year, there were more Jews there at that moment than any other time of the year. This was the perfect time for Jesus to make his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. So by the time Jesus got there, there were those who saw him coming, and they stopped, and they wanted to know what was going on, so they formed another crowd. You know how we do when we're driving down the beltway and there's an accident, Sparky, on the other side of the road in the opposite direction? What do? We slow down. Some of you stop. See, I'm not from Maryland. I live in Maryland. But we love to stop and look at a crowd. And that's the way it was with this crowd that met Jesus as he was coming into the city. But please don't miss this. Jesus, as I said earlier, he had chosen the perfect opportunity to make his announcement as being the king. Jesus, like many politicians, waited for just the right moment to announce his candidacy.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, The Misunderstood King. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
This Easter, join Jesus on his journey from Palm Sunday to triumph over the grave.
WGTS 91.9 and Pastor Mark Batterson present The Road to Resurrection, an 8-day video series to reflect on Jesus' amazing gift to us.
To sign up, text Easter to 800-700-1094.
Or visit WGTS919.com.
This is Simple Truths for Life. And this week, Charles Tapp shares how Jesus' purpose and mission has been misunderstood from the very beginning, and how we can be sure not to make the same mistake today, as he continues with the rest of his message, The Misunderstood King.
Jesus, like many politicians, waited for just the right moment to announce his candidacy. And what makes this moment even more amazing is that Jesus, when you really think about it, Jesus was like a modern-day rock star who came with his own entourage in tow. So please picture the scene. Here comes Jesus riding on a donkey. Lazarus, who was dead but is now risen, is walking with Jesus. The crowd is following because they want to see what's going to happen next. Then they meet a crowd because they heard that Jesus is coming with this guy who a few days earlier was in the grave, but now he's alive. So everybody wants to see what's going on as Jesus makes his way, his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. At this moment, I love what Matthew's gospel, all the gospels, as a matter of fact, are in alignment with this. It says, as they were making their way, there were many in the crowd who understood what was going on, for they recognized the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9 as they see Jesus riding in on this donkey. And the Bible says that many of them began to take off their garments and to pave the road where Jesus was riding on this donkey. Then some of them took branches from the palm tree, cut them off, and began to make a path for Jesus. And they, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all gospels say, they laid the palm leaves for Jesus to ride in on the donkey. Why? Because in that day, when a king would return from battle victorious with his spoils, he would ride into the city and the people would lay palm leaves. And Jesus came with his spoil as well. He came with Lazarus. But they weren't finished yet. It then says that they began to shout, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. After making this, giving Jesus the red carpet treatment, Hosanna being translated, save us now. Please don't miss this, because here is the bedrock of the message now. Save us now. You see, they understood that Jesus was their king, but the mistake they made, they misunderstood when he was going to save them. They said, save us now. And Jesus and the people caused so much of a ruckus, you can read it in Luke 19, that the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, shut your people up. And I love Jesus' classic response to them. Luke 19, verse 40. Jesus said, if they don't do it, the rocks will do it. In other words, if they don't shout, the rocks will cry out. Which makes me wonder today, do the people you know you a Christian? I don't mean because you got a WGTS bumper sticker on your car. Every single day I see a car with a WGTS bumper sticker on it. And if I ever break down on the road, Sam, and a car pulls up with a WGTS bumper sticker, then I feel I'm in good hands, amen? Do people know that you are a Christian, or do the rocks have to cry out? Do people know I'm a Christian, or do the rocks have to cry out? You see, they understood he was king, but they misunderstood that he was their king to save them from the Roman oppression now. And I wish I could tell you that this is the way it all ended. Jesus coming in victoriously, and that was it, riding on his donkey. But they misunderstood this humble, lowly king, and they couldn't understand the paradox. They couldn't comprehend it, that he wasn't going to save them now. And in less than a week, some of the same people who cried, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us now, just a few days later were crying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Because they misunderstood the king. They thought he was there to relieve the Roman oppression at that time. And because Jesus was no more use for them, the same people who said, Hosanna, were now saying, crucify him. And not much has changed. You see, we all have our ideas of who Jesus is. And we cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna, save me now. And because Jesus does not get rid of all the present injustice in your life, because he does not remove all the present pain and suffering in your life, now you have no more use for him. So many of us who cried Hosanna are now crying, crucify him. Oh yeah. We may not use those words, but we're basically saying the same thing. Jesus, because you're not living up to my expectations, I no longer have need for you, so crucify him. Misunderstood. From his birth, misunderstood. Through his ministry, misunderstood. On the cross, misunderstood. They thought he was crying out for saying he was Elijah when he was saying, Elijah, Elijah, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Always misunderstood. And when he doesn't respond to us the way we feel he should, because we have our own ideas of what the Christian life is supposed to be. And I'm so sick, and I know you heard me say this before, I'm so sick of this prosperity gospel. It's not really even a gospel. But here's the reason why no one should follow the prosperity gospel. Are you ready for it? If the prosperity gospel was really real, then why didn't Jesus, the gospel himself, why wasn't he rich? If anybody should have been rich because of the gospel, it should have been Jesus. But the Bible says Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head. So what makes us think if we follow this homeless man that we're going to be rich? Again, we misunderstand the King. Look at this quotation by Ralph Waldo Emerson. He says, as he asked the question, is it so bad then to be misunderstood? Pythagoras, the great mathematician, was misunderstood. Socrates, the great philosopher, misunderstood. Jesus, Savior of the world, was misunderstood. Luther, the great reformer, misunderstood. Newton, misunderstood. And every pure and wise spirit that ever took flesh. So Emerson ends by saying, to be great is to what? Be misunderstood. Many of us misunderstand Jesus because we are under the illusion that Jesus' primary objective is to make us rich. It is to remove our pain. But that's not Jesus' objective. That's not why he came to this earth to die. He came to this earth to save us from our sins and to transform our lives. So the question that we need to ask ourselves as we begin this season of the resurrection is who is Jesus to me? I mean, really, who is Jesus to you? Do you have a misunderstanding of who he is? Do you think he's there to give you every breakthrough you need in life? To solve every problem, to fix every injustice. In the end, he will do all that, but not now. But if we're looking for that now, we need to reevaluate our understanding of Jesus. Because if we don't, we will be like many in that crowd when they realized they had no longer had any use for him, they cried out, crucify him. In essence, they were saying, if you're not going to do what I want you to do, I really don't have a need for you. But my prayer for all of us this season is that we will come to an understanding of who Jesus really is and who he wants to be in our lives. Because all that stuff, it's coming. All the injustice will be done away with, amen? All the pain and heartache will be done away with, amen? All the suffering will be done away with. All the poverty, it will be done away with. But now, his goal is to transform my life and yours.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, The Misunderstood King. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on platforms like Apple Podcasts and now also on Spotify, or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.org. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
But can you imagine the story? Can you imagine the insights we would have today on Jesus being in that tomb if that tomb could talk?
Next week, we hope you can plan to listen in again as Charles Tapp shares a special Easter message titled, If the Tomb Could Talk. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.
Easter. Join Jesus on his journey from Palm Sunday to triumph over the grave.
WGTS 91.9 and Pastor Mark Batterson present The Road to Resurrection, an 8-day video series to reflect on Jesus' amazing gift to us.
To sign up, text Easter to 800-700-1094.
Or visit WGTS919.com. Jesus came here for you.
No matter what your skin color is.
Jesus came here for you if you're Republican, Democrat, neutral, don't know or don't care, or any political party.
Jesus came for the far left and the far right, or if you're somewhere in between.
Jesus came for the person who cut you off in traffic.
Jesus came for the homeless, the poor, the middle class, and the rich.
Jesus came for love.
Love.
Jesus came for you and for all his children.
We're here to remind you of that.
WGTS 91.9.
Always encouraging.
And 88.3 on the Eastern Shore.